My name's Chris-O-Matic. Now I share aloud. Is that okay? And the reason I do that, because I'm aging in recovery and I can't hear good. And I hate to be the guy on the back row that can't hear the speaker, so I make sure when I share you can hear me. I don't do that out of pride or ego. I do that out of wanting to carry the message, because usually the addict who still suffers is the newcomer sitting on the back row. At least that's the experience in Kentucky. So, like I said, my name's Chris, and I'm an addict. I'm from Kentucky, and if you don't know where that is, I'm from the little town where we started, and I'm not trying to promote anything. If there's any NA Nazis in here, don't write me a ticket. I come from the hometown where we started Kentucky Fried Chicken. Everybody likes chicken. Yeah. I'm nervous. Some people ask me, why don't I get a sponsee to introduce me? And listen, most of my sponsees like me. You want to know if someone's really recovering, go into their home. It's easy to come out here and share for an hour and share like Shakespeare, but what's going on behind closed doors? So me and my wife, when she was introducing me, I told her when I hugged her, I said, you forgot to tell them we voted against each other in group conscience. And that's the biggest fight. We just about got divorced over that. Because she didn't share the way I thought she should. That means she's got a voice. And that's real important, because a lot of us don't have a voice when we get here. People used to refer to her as my wife. And now I'm known as Shannon's husband. I try to have a good time with this. I didn't come from Kentucky to come down here and be quiet and carry a watered-down message. I came down here to carry a message of hope and the promise of freedom. Huh? And first of all, I want to thank Almighty God for bringing me down here. Yes, because there was a time when I couldn't get nowhere, and every time I get on an airplane demo, I get anxiety. You know what I mean? And I get on an airplane and I get nervous, and I always say the Serenity Prayer. Yeah? And I'm thinking about, and I want to thank the Hackner committee for putting this on, because you always got people not on the committee that has a better idea that wants to enforce that. I've been on a lot of committees. I know how this works. And when this comes together, it's a miracle. Huh? So I see that Hackner started, and I want to tie this all together. I was talking to the young lady. I didn't get her name, but she was telling me a little bit of history. And Hackner 15 is what we're here for, right? Give y'all a hand. Give yourself a hand. And I see that Hackner started in 1993. And I was talking to the speaker tonight, and she was telling me a little bit about her story. And we were talking about 1992. And start putting things together. So if you don't read the literature, I'll share some of it with you, because I was trying to tie this together. And in the We Do Recover chapter, the young lady that just came up here read We Do Recover, Jimmy Kay wrote We Do Recover when he had 15 years clean. So I'm talking about Hackner 15, carrying a message, keeping a hope alive in 2025. And when Jimmy Kay, the founder of VNA, had 15 years clean, he wrote We Do Recover. And let me just read it to you again with some passion to it. Because it talks about when at the end of the road, when the end of the road, we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without the drugs. Jimmy, I'm talking about the paranoia and the fear, and I'm talking about sleeping in the hallway at my house with no windows the night before I went to my first meeting, because I know they were coming. You know who they are. You know what I am? Come on, man. I'm talking about the paranoia and the fear. I'm talking about sleeping in the hallway. Didn't want nobody to see me. You know what I am? And I'm talking about, because I'm talking about when at the end of the road, I'm talking about doing the drugs, because the drugs stopped working. But then I get clean, and I don't have no drugs for a few hours, and then I want the drugs. So it's like, I can't function with or without the drugs. Jimmy Kay wrote about this with 15 years clean. What in the hell do I know with 15 days, you know? These newcomers today, they didn't know everything, you know? But it talks about, if you're a newcomer, welcome. I was too once, so. But the literature talks about either with or out drugs, we all face the same dilemma. It says, what is there left to do? Well, there seems to be this alternative. It says, either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death. See, what really gets me is we see people and we pat them on the back and we don't tell them the truth, and then they leave here and they die or they relapse or they do whatever, and then they come back and we act shocked. We read it at the first meeting. The only alternatives to recovery are jails, institutions, or death. So if you're sitting under my voice today, that's the alternatives. It's no big deal to get on a plane and fly down here. I've been to Texas 3 times. Is it this year or last year? I've been here a lot. No big deal. I come to Texas, Jimmy, you know? You know what I'm saying? You know how much dope costs, you know what I'm saying? My family don't understand. They're like, why would you spend money going to Texas? And I said, do you remember what I spent on drugs? Do you remember the hazmat team that came down the road in 07 and took me to jail? Do you remember the police department that showed up? I'm talking about a message of hope here. So it talks about, or find a new way to live. And it says, in years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Said those who are addicted today are more fortunate for the first time in man's entire history, the history of mankind. It says a simple way has been proven itself in the lives of many addicts. Here's the hope shot, keeping it alive in 2025. It's available to us all. It don't matter if you're white, black, Hispanic, tall, short, got one arm, one leg, from Yale, jail, Park Bench, Park Avenue, from the hood or the holler. It's available to us all. Huh? I'm just saying. I just wanted to tie that in before I got started. Jimmy Kay, you know that? I want to share a little bit. I'm not going to share a whole lot on how to use. If you don't know how to use, you've stumbled into the wrong place. But I do want to share about that night before I went to that first meeting, laying in the hallway, because the first step talks about the mental, physical, and spiritual disease we suffer from. See, I lost use of a right arm in 98, years before I ever got clean. You would think somebody that had any sense would have been like, I'm done. Oh, no, but not an addict. You know that? You don't know if you're an addict, you'll take a 5-minute thought and obsess on it for 15 years trying to make it a reality. That's how you know if you're an addict or not. Normal people don't wake up wondering if they're an addict. Eh? So what happened, man, I remember there was a girl I used to use with, and she come to my place, you know, and she was buying some stuff, and she said, you need help. You're here buying drugs and tell me I need help? She said, yeah, you're messed up. You know that? I thought I was doing good. I weighed 135. Y'all think I'm slim now? I weigh 50 pounds lighter, Mike. And I'm like, looked like, my wife said, looked like you're going to fall for your asshole and hang yourself, you know? And I'm talking about just being just thin as could be, man. And people say, how you doing? And I'm doing good. Yeah. But no, you ain't doing good. And I remember she wrote her number down and she gave it to me. And she said, when you get ready, you call me. She said, I think I know a group of people that could help you. And see, our literature, in the basic text, it talks about it. And I'm going to read it straight on our literature. My sponsor always taught me, you can argue with me, but you can't argue with the literature. And it, hell, that's the reason I bring my weapon with me, you know? It says, the 12 steps as adapted from Narcotics Anonymous, from AA, are the basis of our recovery program. We had only broadened their perspective. We follow the same path with a single exception. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive with respect to any mode-changing, mind-altering substance. And there's some more in that, but I read that because what happened, and I know I only got like an hour here, so it's hard to throw a lot of hope in an hour, but I'm trying to hit all I can. And so what happened, I go to that, I call that girl. The next day she shows up, and I go to my first meeting. I mean, it wasn't Narcotics Anonymous. I come from a real small town. It's real small. So what happened, though, we go in, and it was Alcoholics Anonymous. She didn't tell me what it was. And we go in, and see, I'd never heard nothing about rehab. There wasn't nobody in my house talking about getting clean. You know what I mean? I wouldn't allow you in talking crazy shit like that. You know what I mean? So what happened, we go into that meeting, and I sat down, and I could identify with people there, right? But what I couldn't identify with, what I couldn't identify with, what I was supposed to identify as. I mean, that's just me. That's, you get up here, you can share your experience, strength, and hope, but that's me. Because if you go to my hometown and you identify me as anything other than an addict, they're like, what are you talking about? That dude's a dope fiend, you know what I mean? And I know the literature says our identification is addicts. But what happened, and I'm being respectful because what happened was there was people I could identify with, but I just couldn't get down with some of the stuff, right? But here's what happened. I went to the meeting the next day, and I went the next day, and I went the next day. See, our literature says only in desperation did we seek help. See, the problem is today with society, we soften the blow to recovery, and nobody gives us true gifts of desperation. I didn't have no choices left when I got here. Mom was done, lost one arm, my kid hadn't spoke to me in 5 years. It was the end of the road. But what happened? We're going into that room one day, and I look into the side room, and there's two people sitting there in a little bitty room. It was about big as this stage. And I said, what's that in there? I said, that's Narcotics Anonymous. I said, why ain't we in there? I said, that sounds like it's for addicts, right? They said, yeah. And I said, well, we should be in there. They said, nobody goes in there. And I said, well, I am. Huh? And see, here's what happened when I went in there. Here's what I heard. Who's an addict? I said, most of us don't have to think twice about this question. We know. So that our whole life of thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways, the means to get more. So we live to use and use to live. Said very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. So we were in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness. It tells us again, whose ends are always the same. Jails, institutions, and death. And man, when I heard that, see, our literature talks about it was written by addicts for addicts. So what happens when I started hearing the message of Narcotics Anonymous, the message of hope, keeping it alive from 1953 from Jimmy Kay, I heard that. It touched my heart. And if it ain't touching your heart, there's something wrong, man. If you're an addict like I am and you come from where I come from and you come in here and you feel the predecessor spirit, because the literature says there's a spirit or an energy that can be felt in our meetings. I don't get this hit down at the poker shack. I don't get this hit at the shooting gallery. I get this when I come here and we come together. The second step says we came to believe that a power, this is the power. This is the second step that we talk about that restores me to sanity. I attend other places and other services, but I never tell anybody to go any other place when they call me sick other than Narcotics Anonymous. This is the hit. So what happened, man? I get excited up here, you know? Hey, man, when you got the hope, you know what I'm talking about? Helping other people evolve. That's what we do here. H-O-P-E, helping other people evolve. See, the literature says if I don't use what I have, I'll lose what I have. See, this ain't a selfish program. Let me put that out there, because people carry some misinformed information in here from misinformed people, and they say it's a selfish program. Show that to me in the literature. Our literature says Narcotics Anonymous is a selfless program. The only way to keep what we got is to give it away. Nothing selfish about that. It's in the It Works Town Why. but nobody ever reads it to know. I'm just saying, that's in Kentucky. That ain't in Texas, so don't get offended. That's up there. So what happened, man, I go to that first meeting, and then we go by that room, and I go in there, and I hear, who's an addict? Man, I loved it. I hear who I need to be at. There was two people in there. Well, a week or two later, the door shut. I'm like, what happened? Where'd they go? Somebody said they were selling drugs. Don't act like addicts don't sell drugs. No. And what happened? They shut the door. Well, the literature talks about in the sixth step how sometimes that our character defects can become assets. They will. I read it this morning. So what happens is I'm mad. You know that? I'm in this other fellowship and they ain't doing stuff right, and I'm trying to tell everybody what their defects are. You know how we are. We got 60 days clean. We're calling everybody out. Everybody's messed up and screwed up. Yeah. Not in Texas. Only in Kentucky. So what happens? I prayed, and I said, God, put somebody over in that room. And then I get mad as hell. They ain't doing what I want them to, and I'm like, where do I get that damn key at to that room? And I find myself in that room. I don't know how many days I had cleaned. It was less than 60 days. I find myself in that room, and I'm like, what in the world have I prayed for? You know? And what happened? I found myself over there. Now, see, here's the problem with me. I didn't know there was like the Houston area. I didn't know there was the, I didn't know nothing. When I say I know nothing about recovery, I know nothing. I ended up walking to the library because I didn't have no computer at home. I just traded it off for dope. You know? Yeah. And so what happened was I ended up walking to the library and getting on NA.org and looking at, I'm like, where do I get key tags? See, it's easy to sit in a big cat, Houston, and we take things for granted because it's just there. Somebody's going to come in today and drink the coffee because it's just there. But someone had to get a contract with this hotel and fight and argue and scrounge and get from $15 a gallon down to $14 a gallon, and somebody on the committee said this ain't right, and somebody said I got it over there and that's right. And you don't see all that. I'm just sharing, man. I'm talking about hope. Yeah, so we've got this. This is one of the only fellowships in the world created for the person who's not here yet. Let that sink in. That's powerful. That's a message of hope in its own. And what happened? I've got a sponsor over here. I've got a home group over there. And I'm wild. Huh? My wife's shaking her head, yeah. I had 1 year clean. Y'all got a coffee pot in your home group? I know you do. And most 99% of them do anyway. So I've got my NA cape on, you know, and I'm carrying the message. I'm trying to save the neighborhood, you know. Do what I do. Go to a meeting. I was wild. I'm still wild. And so what happened? I'm stalking the coffee pot, Mike, you know. You know, when a newcomer walks in. And I see this pretty little brunette walk in. She had on these black yoga pants. I remember what she's wearing. Yeah, black. Bam. She had on that green top. And the sun was setting. And I said, baby, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it. Now, she just shared that she appreciated someone making the effort to get it. She didn't know I'd tie that back in there. And so what happened? I met my wife at an NA meeting, right? And I want to share that, man, because when she got up here sharing, I was thinking, God delivered her to me. I'm just going to share that because, listen, because when we met, we was at an NA meeting, but she didn't stay around. And I tried to be respectful. You can ask her. I remember we read the basic text together at night. She can tell you about it. And we're doing this and doing that, and I'm going to meetings, and we're going everywhere and everything. Well, she didn't stay around. We met in 08. I got clean in 07. She didn't stay around, and I really didn't think I'd ever see her again, you know? But I still check on her every now and then. Her mom, I know her mom, and I'd be like, where's your daughter at? You know, I got to check on her, carrying the message, you know? So what happened, man, and here's what happened. God know that I didn't need no distractions in my life at that time because he had a purpose for me. I couldn't see that then. So what happened? Here I am again, my cape back on, you know? And thank God for the predecessors. If you're old and you're a predecessor in here, if you're an old asshole, please keep being an old asshole. Yeah? I'm just saying because you are the people that helped me. It wasn't the people who's patting me on the back. I'm telling you, because there's this old guy coming up from Tennessee one weekend, and we're having this function, and he said, son, I've heard about you up here. And I said, well, good. He said, well, you're full of shit. I was waiting on him to pat on me. You don't tell me how good I was doing. I thought I was doing some good stuff. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, let me tell you. You're talking about a life-saving message, but you ain't even got an NA sponsor. What are you doing step work out of? Now, I could tell you, but it ain't approved literature, so it'd be a violation of the sixth tradition. So I'm not going to say standing up here on the mic. But I was doing step work that wasn't in Narcotics Anonymous. And I got a sponsor that ain't in Narcotics Anonymous. But I got a home group in Narcotics Anonymous. And I got some sponsees who are getting misinformed information from their sponsor. I'm just sharing about me. And that old man said, you're full of shit, son. He said, you got any stray dogs in Kentucky? And I said, yeah. And he said, you know how they go from here to there and nobody claims them? And he said, yeah, that's what you are. Like an old stray dog. He said, what you need to do, because our literature says, if you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And these are the principles. It don't say put a stamp on it or all that stuff. It says these are the principles that make our recovery possible. He said, commitment is one of them, and you lack it. You need to make a commitment to what you're going to be committed to, Narcotics Anonymous or everything else. See, here's the kicker. Am I willing to do anything to stay married to my wife? No. I've had three. She's number three. My evidence in the background shows I'm not. I'm not saying that being disrespectful. Stay with me. Stay with me. Am I willing to do anything to keep the job I have? No. I've had 1,000 jobs. Am I willing to do anything to stay clean? Yes. See, here's the kicker. For me to stay clean, there's principles that I have to practice to live a life based in recovery that allows me to stay clean and recover. See, there's a difference. And if I practice those principles in my life, then my marriage lasts. Then my job lasts. That's the reason our literature says staying clean must come first. Yeah. My wife will say, baby, you love me? And I said, just for today, baby, just for today. I'm just saying. Because the literature said we practice these principles in all our affairs, you know? And so what happens, man, I made a commitment, and man, that was tough. I'd been with my first sponsor, and I'm eternally grateful for him. But I'd been with him ever since I got clean, man, and that man helped me through the most terrible times of my life. And see, when I got here, I shared with you, my kid hadn't spoke to me in 5 years. I lost use of my right arm. I didn't have no job. I was unemployable. Nobody wanted to employ a one-arm addict, you know, using dope. And it was horrible. But man, he helped me through that. See, here's what happened, that I'm going through the step work, and I want to share about this because, like I said, you hear a bunch of different stuff. Because I had people come down to where we were at in Kentucky, and they're like, how do you sponsor people and you ain't been through the 12 steps? Now, that's easy for that addict to say when he comes from a big city where NA has been around 20 or 30 years. But what about when you're in a little country town when it's been around for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days? What do you do? Tell the addict to come back later. I ain't worked all 12 steps, and I'll get you later. Sounds a little ridiculous, don't it? Let me tell you what the literature says. Step working guy. Step three. What have I done recently that demonstrates my commitment to recovery and to working a program? And it asks some different questions. Here's one of them. Have I agreed to sponsor another recovering addict? That's in step three. So argue with it all you want. Does fellowship approve? That means fellowship signed off on it. I'm just saying. So I started sponsoring people. And some of those people I still sponsor, they still clean. Because what happens is their dependence is upon God, not upon me. I'm just walking them through the step work. I'm just here to be a messenger of hope. That's it, man. So what happened, I started going through the step work. And you know, I was just thinking about the theme of this convention. It's all about hope. Step two, the hope we get from working step two, the hope we get replaces the desperation with which we came into the program with. See, the problem is if you ain't got the desperation, you probably ain't going to get the hope. See, I had to go to a bottom to look up. You know, that's the problem today. Some people don't get the gift of desperation. Yeah, I'm here today, man. If you ain't done using, go use. Get done. You won't hear that a lot of places. But I'm just telling you, man, because it wasn't until I hit bottom. There's a gift in that. And the literature says that something remarkable occurred to us. And this is what I talked about when I first started coming in. So something remarkable occurred to us as we sat in our first few meetings. There were other addicts there who had used drugs just like we had had. Addicts who were now clean, and we believed in them. You better find somebody in here you better believe in. The Just for Today says that. And it says, in fact, no, it's you. It said they knew the places we'd been to our addiction, not just to using hangouts, not just to geographical locations, but the hangouts of horror and despair that our spirits had visited each time we'd used. Huh? See, I don't know what it's like to be in the hood, and you don't know what it's like to be in the holler, but I know what desperation feels like. Huh? I know what low self-esteem feels like. I know what it's like to wake up in the morning, you ain't seen your kid in years, wanting to know who's doing what for him on Father's Day, because it sure the hell ain't you. See, I needed somebody in here to take the cut out the story. Because we come here and want to fantasize and rationalize the most outrageous behavior. Talking about I had a good time. I didn't have a good time. I come in here one arm less. I'm just sharing real, man, you know? Can't get no hope if I don't get down to the bottom of this thing. You know what I mean? So what happened, man, I come in here and I start doing step work and I'm going through there and I'm step one and two. Step two talks about we came to believe that a power granted ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, I tell my sponsees, I don't want to hear about God. What you know about God kept you high. Yeah, we got newcomers. I know about God. Well, I do too. I was shooting dope in the holiness church bathroom. I know all about God. But I couldn't stay clean. But when I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because in the Recovery and Relapse chapter, in the Recovery and Relapse chapter, it talks about when I start neglecting my new responsibilities by missing meetings, not getting involved, or not doing step work or 12-step work, the program stops. These are the things that lead to relapse. So that tells me step two is for me to get a sponsor, do step work, and come to meetings. That's where I get restored to sanity. It ain't by what I know, because the Narcotics Anonymous questions my belief system. Says we came to believe it's what I do. I knowed a lot of stuff before I got here, but my audio and video didn't match up. Sounds like your alls didn't either. You wouldn't be laughing, yeah? So what happens, man, and I'm talking about a message of hope. Because we got step four talks about a lot of people come in here and they're like, oh, it's how bad you are, and it's this. It's not. Quit killing people. You probably ain't even worked one and telling people that. What our literature says, in this new way of life, a binge of emotional sorrow can be dangerous. This morning, the Just for Today talked about right back up. If you're looking for sympathy, my sponsor told me it's in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. That's where you'll find it at. I'm just saying. Don't be shocked. They heard me shared before I ever got up here, so they know what they was getting. And the literature says, this is not the purpose of the fourth step. Quit pity partying people to death. It says, we are trying to free ourselves of living in old, useless patterns. We take the fourth step. I'm going to tell you where it's at. It's on page 28 in the sixth edition. It says, we take the fourth step to grow and gain strength and insight. It makes me stronger. Nobody's ever read that to you, have they? This is where I get some power at. Huh? Because I'm not powerless by the time I get to the 11th step. Huh? Yeah, I'm not powerless. I don't get up in the morning and holler, well, I'm powerless. Ain't nothing I can do. Huh? Yeah. So what happens, man, through this process, I start getting involved doing these step work. And this is what's really, truly great about having a sponsor in Narcotics Anonymous. They can break this down to me. Huh? And what happens when... See, I didn't have no college degree when I got here. Mike, I told this person in NA, I said, well, I can't go to college. I only got one good arm. That's what I told him, my man right there. I tell everybody in Kentucky, I had a twin down in Texas. And that's what I told him. I said, he don't care. We know each other. And that's what I said. I said, I only got one arm. And this old lady said, how long did you use drugs? I said, 22 years. And she said, you should do real good in college. You've never used your mind for nothing. And when I graduated from college, I graduated with the highest GPA, and I was a speaker for college. And it wasn't nothing I did. Here's what I did. I did what you guys taught me. I showed up early for class. I stayed late after class. I stayed up late at night, and I did what I was supposed to do, and I preserved through commitments that we talk about, the spiritual principles. That's what happened. And here's what goes on. So, you know, I go through all this step work. You know, we talk about the fifth step, the key to freedom, right? And we talk about sixth and seventh character defects and them getting removed. And here's how I really know that God was working on me in that sixth step, because there's a fine line between love and an EPO. Y'all have EPOs down here? I call it emergency protective order. Both of my ex-wives had to get one on me. Yeah? That's when you're violent in a relationship. Yeah. So I remember my kid used to, when we were talking, he would contact me and he would say something about his mother, and I'd always refer to her as a bitch. I said, that bitch is, and that bitch, that, you know. And after going through a six and seven step, Jimmy, I remember he called me one day, and for some reason it came out of my mouth. I said, I may not be the best person to ask about your mother. Yeah. And I knew that something, that miracle, that process of recovery and being restored to sanity was starting to take place in my life, you know, the real miracle, right? So what happens is I started dressing people different because I started treating myself different. See, I can't treat you good if I don't treat myself good, you know? So when I quit talking to myself like, well, I'm a sleazy, greasy dope fiend, or I'm a junkie, or I'm an addict. The literature says our identification is addicts. You won't even hear me say I'm a drug addict. I've not used drugs since 2007. But am I an addict? Absolutely. Huh? Yeah. Because our symbol talks about the manifestation of the disease of addiction. Because what happens, we want to sit there and holler, well, that's an outside issue. The traditions say if it affects my ability to stay clean, it's not an outside issue. It's in our literature. But sometimes at a predecessor, I want to use the clean time. This ain't in Texas, it's Kentucky. I want to be the clean time bully, right? Because I don't want nobody sharing about something I got issues with. Because if you start sharing about it, then I feel convicted, and then I can't be in there sharing like Shakespeare because I've got this secret hid over here. I'm just saying. That's right, I got my wife introduced me. She'll tell everything. You know my wife, she's like, she don't care to share down on me in a meeting. Sniper firing is what I call it. So Yeah. So what happened, you know, I'm going through step work and everything, and the sixth and seventh steps, some things start getting removed. And here where I really notice them at is when I go into the eighth and ninth step, because that's reading the literature says isolation is dangerous to my spiritual growth. See, I can't be sitting by myself at home and say, well, you ain't been to a meeting in forever. How you doing? Well, I'm doing good. Well, who do I have to judge it off of? What am I judging it off of? You know? Because that's reading the first tradition talks about our unity. See, I need you guys to bounce some stuff off of. You know? Because that's reading isolation is dangerous to my spiritual growth. When I go into eighth and ninth step, I start seeing the process of defects getting removed, shortcomings, because I'm dealing with other people. Does that make sense? Yeah, so in the eighth step, the ninth step, it says, the unconditional love we experience will rejuvenate our will to live. Huh? It rejuvenates our will to live. And it says, each positive move on our part will be matched by unexpected opportunity. So what happens when that newcomer come in and they looking for the message of hope and we give them that hug, it talks about how that rejuvenates their will to live. Where's the newcomer? Ain't newcomers in here? Yeah, give him a hand, y'all. Thank you for hugging the newcomer. Let me tell you why we hug in here. Our literature says we greet each other with the same recognition reserved for survivors of the same near fatal catastrophe. You know what that is? Come here, Jimmy. Come here, Jimmy. Jump up here, Jimmy. Jimmy, my friend. You know why we hug in Narcotics Anonymous? Our hearts touch. Our hearts touch. Our hearts touch. That's the reason we hug in here, because the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, the empathy piece that Jimmy K wrote about in We Do Recover, he wrote about how we need to feel each other. We touch each other. Our hearts beat. We live each other back to life. This is deep, man. It's about Narcotics Anonymous, get you spirit. That's reading it says this is a spiritual, not religious program. Yeah. So the 10th step, man, talks about we talk about continue to pay personal inventory. See, it's hard for me to do God's will when I'm walking around with fear, anger, and resentment. See, the 10th step talks about it. It talks about feelings versus doing. Just because I'm feeling bad don't mean I'm doing bad. Huh? Because usually when I'm feeling real good in drug addiction, I was doing real bad. Yeah. So step 10 talks about it, and it says in step 10, somebody give me, I don't know what time it is. If I get short, tell me. Huh? Step 10 talks about if we do not stay aware of our defects, they can drive us into a corner. That means you're not driving. It says they can drive us into a corner that we will not come out of clean. See, the sixth step says all my defects of character comes from fear, anger, and resentment. The acronym is F-A-R. And if I'm caught up in the triangle, I'm far away from God. It's what the 10th step talks about it. They'll drive me into a corner. I won't even know what's going on. Like, how'd I get high? How'd this happen? How'd this happen? How'd I end up in treatment? How'd I end up in psych? When I got clean, they always sent me to the psych ward, didn't they? Yeah, they never sent me to treatment. They sent me to psych ward. But what happens, that's what it talks about, the fear, anger, resentment. But it talks about it gets it replaced with acceptance, love, and faith. That's where the principles come into play. That's how I come out of the corner, man. Relapse looks like this. Screw that home group. My wife voted against me. I married her. She should have voted what I told her to vote. And she's like, hell. That's what relapse looks like. Fear, anger, and resentment. Me putting dope in me is the last part of it. It started back when I become irritable and restless. And I was pissed off. Somebody help me accountable down there in Houston. Yeah? Whatever it may be. And what happens here, I always get to this. Me and Mike was talking before I got up here. And listen, I'm not breaking nobody's anonymity by standing up here. And I said, Mike, because he's sitting in the damn room with me. You know? People say, don't break man and enemy. We're sitting in a room together, huh? And so it's kind of crazy. You know, we say crazy stuff. So what happens, man, I get on the 11th step. And I'm in what I called a relationship at the time. See, the literature said we must relearn many things we've forgotten and develop a new approach to life if we are to survive. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. See, the welcome to NAIP, IP22, says we get clean and recover in here. See, there's a difference. People say, well, meetings makers make it. They do, but step workers recover. So what happens? I'm with this girl, and it's December, and we split up, and I called my sponsor, and I told him what had happened. He said, maybe it ain't God's will. Ain't you on 11th step? And I said, God ain't nothing to do with this. I've got this under control. In January, I call him back again. I mean, I'm calling him regular, but, you know, this is really serious, you know. And I call him in January, and I'm like, hey, sponsor me, tell you what happened. And I tell him the same story, and he said, maybe it ain't God's will. I said, God ain't got nothing to do with this. The literature says when the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, we'll surely let go. So it took November, December, okay, January, February, March, April, May. It took a half a year. He never told me I couldn't do nothing. He said, you need to have at it, son. Jump right in there. You know what I mean? Have at it. And he asked me one day, he said, what do you call a relationship? And I said, well, I pay the bills and we have sex. See, that's what I've seen in my home. See, I learned that through the step work. That's what I've seen in my home for 50 years. And my sponsor looked at me and said, son, that's called prostitution. But see, here's what happened. When it did end, when that ended, that was in May. 2 months later, well, month and a half later, month and 5 weeks later, I get a message one day. Guess who it was, Mike? The black yoga pants. See, I'm on God's will now. You can argue with me all you want. I'm on the 11th step. I get that message, and she said, do you still go to those NA meetings? And I said, hell yeah, I still go to those NA meetings. The 12th step talks about the benefit package, baby. I'm here for the benefit package, you know what I mean? And let me tell you what happened. She said, I need to come back to those meetings. And see, I've been around NA for a few years in. I know how you guys are. And I said, come to the house. I didn't want y'all to mess her up, you know? She moved in that day. The newcomer, don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. She moved in that day, and we just celebrated our 11-year anniversary October the 4th of last year. Now, let me tell you the truth. The first 3 years, if she had her nursing degree then, she'd have probably cut my throat and made it look like an accident. She said, I could have killed you, you know? I'm just saying that the first 3 years, we've been to marriage counseling. We sought outside help. I've had to go to a lot of stuff, and I've had to do a lot of step work in areas. I had to seek some outside help. You know, people come up here, and they paint this beautiful picture like you're going to get clean. You ain't going to have no problems. That's a lie. But here's the difference. The willingness. I continue to stay willing, you know? So let me share this real quick, and I'm going to wrap things up. But I told you I didn't have no education when I got here, and I started going to college. And me and my wife actually sat down, and she said, you go to college as long as you want to, and then when you stop, I'll start going. And that's what we've done. That's what we've done. We work together. We're not here. The literature says we should never be in competition with each other. It's in the beginning of the basic text. So we work together. We help one another. What happened? I told you I didn't see my kid for years. Well, see, God, when she come back into my life, she had a little boy. And see, everybody wants to talk about turning stuff over to God, but they never want to talk about what God does. But see, what happens when she come back, she had a little boy in her life that she didn't have in 08, huh? And see, God seen the, He seen the keeping the hope alive because he knew I was going to make some amends process, right, to this little boy called my son. So guess, I never took my son to ball games. I never took my kid to school. I never prayed with my kid because my daddy never prayed with me, never took me to a function. So when she comes back and got Jackson, guess who takes him to school every morning? Guess who prays with him every day? I invest in that kid because I want that kid to have a different life. See, somebody raised my son while I wasn't around, and his daddy ain't around, so I'm doing the same thing for him. I could stand up here and really share, but I love you guys, right? And this is a great convention. I'm really grateful for everybody who's put this thing on, and I'm going to end with this. I'm getting old, so I like write a few notes down here and there so I can remember where it's at. That way, if any of you Nazis check me, I know where it's at. I wrote it down. And I'm just joking. I love Texas. I've been several places there. If you're new, or if you've been here a while, page 19, how it works. Our only hope. Ain't that what we're talking about? Keeping hope alive in 2025? Well, this is your solution. Our only hope is to live by the example of those who have faced our dilemma and found a way out, regardless of who we are. The hood or the holler. It don't say hood or holler. I'll put it down. The hood or the holler. Where we came from or what we've done, we are accepted in NA. Thanks for letting me share.